Welcome to Crypto Talk Radio, the podcast for everyday investors like you. Visit us on the web at cryptotalkradio.net. And now, here's your host, Leister.
Thank you for that, Bailey, and welcome everybody out there on Crypto Talk Radio, found at cryptotalkradio.net. Snow season is upon us. We're going to get some heavy snow here, I'm told, tomorrow. And, you know, I got a power snow shovel deal, so that's fine. I still don't like having to deal with the nonsense of it. And then I'm going to just give you a warning. If you're in those areas that's subject to ice and you like to put down whatever to de-ice, I'm going to strongly recommend that you do not use a product called Paw Thaw found on Amazon, because it's garbage. It's not that it doesn't work. It does somewhat work. It doesn't work as good as Ice Melt, which is a different product, Blue. But it's the residue. The Paw Thaw leaves a very unsightly residue behind it, to the point I have to use it like in the back driveway or something. I can't use it out front because it's just horrible. It stands out in the crowd and it's not good. And if you have blacktop anywhere, don't even think about it. So I am going to recommend that you do not use Paw Thaw unless it's all you got available and you can't find anything else. Other than that, avoid this garbage straight up. You know, crypto is in a weird spot, but it's an opportunity to do things better. If you've been a gambler rolling the dice this whole time, it's up to you. But I think it's time to do better. You should and can diversify. Commodities are going to be part of my conversation. This came because of something that happened very recently where things came full circle for me, and it proved I wasn't wrong this whole time. From the moment I was in my early 20s and even my teens, I knew this something doesn't feel right. And I've always been hypersensitive to what was disrupting. The disruption is around money. And I just did an update on our casual show about money and the loss of value of money and how everything comes around. Some people are just, they're givers, you know, they give and give and give and want to help everybody else and to the detriment of themselves. And then some people are greedy as all get out. I've always been a fan of you give when you know you can and it doesn't put you out. And some people don't agree with me. Some people are like, no, if I got to go hungry, I'm going to go hungry to help that person over there. I feel that way for certain people, you know. I have a friend, his sister, I would probably do that for her. That's a different thing though. Some of my coworkers that I was real close with, I would probably do that for them. My first girlfriend, if I knew she was struggling, I would do what I could to help her. Like there's certain targeted people where I can safely say, if I knew that it would put you straight, then yes, I'll go that extra mile for you. Other than that, I'm not, to quote Jay-Z, I can't help the poor if I'm one of them. So I never am going to give everything to put myself out to help somebody else. That might sound selfish. It's not, because you got to remember, if you put yourself in a situation that you can't give additional help, what the hell good does it do somebody else, right? With cryptocurrency then, the advice that I'm going to share, and it's simply advice based on a recommendation, based on a finding and an observation. The advice that I share is designed to help you rethink your strategy in preparation and anticipation for what I expect is going to happen in the future. That's a strong opportunity, some of which I've talked about, some of which I haven't. If you're a gambler and want to roll the dice, I can't tell you what to do with your cash. But I think the information I share is the best way to help other people without putting myself out and without putting you in danger or at risk. We're going to jump in and talk about the current state. We're going to jump in and talk about a couple of news bits, and I'm going to share my advice, and I would love to hear your feedback at cryptotalk.fm. Coindesk.com, and we are going to zoom out to the month chart, and we're going to start with Ethereum, because unfortunately, Ethereum took a major crap. That's why I want to start with it, because it took a major crap. The fact that it took a major crap created a large opportunity. That's what I want to talk about first. A low over the past day of 25, just shy of $2,600, a high of $2,700, trending strongly down. Currently, as I record this, $2,600 headed straight down. And the reason I started and said this is the opportunity is because these are rare prices. Now, obviously, Ethereum never got to its all-time high. Obviously, we have the idiot Vitalik killing the business. All of these are factors that create additional risk and volatility. The reason that I still maintain the run that we think should be there, I don't picture it until I see Ethereum going up. As Ethereum goes down, though, there's going to come a point that it's going to go back up. If for no other reason than all of the other garbage tokens that are out there helping to support it. Remember that you still have some tokens being launched on the Ethereum chain, not necessarily the Solana chain. The ones listed on the Ethereum chain are going to help up the price at some point down the road. And as we switch now over to Bitcoin and we look at its 24-hour chart, a high of just shy of 99 grand, sorry, and a low of 95 grand, currently around the 96 grand mark, and Bitcoin is trending strongly downward. The theory is that money from Bitcoin is going to go other ways, and it can only go certain ways, and may or may not be leaving the business, but that other alts, other networks, other chains should, in theory, benefit from these price drops that we see. The tariff conversation and the tariff war and everything that's happening with Donald Trump is playing some part in what we see in the price movements downward. What also I believe is playing a part is a general sense of cautiousness, caution around we don't know what the future will hold. In 2025, it hasn't gotten down the road yet. And since we don't know what's going to happen, and since we don't have regulatory clarity as it stands, a lot of people believe that some of the money is flowing into other commodities. This then goes to my conversation for you today. The price of gold started to climb back up again, and it debunked the narrative that I heard from some of the YouTubers who swore that gold was dead and Bitcoin is the new gold and there's no reason to buy gold. I want to remind people that there are countries out there where gold is all that really matters for them. You can never go wrong investing in gold. Obviously, you can't buy a lot of it because of its price. Consider that, though. Even now, you can't buy a lot of it because of its price. Even now, you cannot. So it truly is the store of value. I saw a lot of articles swearing that Bitcoin is now a store of value. How can such be the truth when you've got Ross Ulbricht sitting on major bags of it? You got that idiot whose girlfriend dumped the hard drive into a landfill. And if he were to get it back, he basically has $500 million worth of it. And of course, he's going to dump it. When you have something where singular people can kill the business on it, how can it by definition be a store of value? A store of value assumes an assurance that it's not going to crap anytime in the near future. I would argue that while Bitcoin is en route to being a store of value, it's going to take a lot for it to get to that point, in my opinion. To be an effective store of value, it has to be that no single person can crap it, in my opinion. So if we have these people who effectively can kill the business on it, I don't agree or subscribe to the idea that it's a store of value. Doesn't mean that you don't invest in it. Doesn't mean that it does not have value in a portfolio. Doesn't mean that it cannot be the foundation of a portfolio. But we saw earlier on, remember, Bitcoin went down to $12,000. So how can you have a store of value that goes down that far? You don't see that in gold. You didn't see gold crap to $50. I mean, come on. So I'm sharing my thoughts that I don't agree that it is a store of value in the core definition of said. I do agree that it can be a source of value for your portfolio in conjunction with other commodities and other investment. I think gold is one of those good ones. I think silver is one of those good ones. I think other, you know, precious metals are great investments to have in addition to everything else you invest in, stocks, bonds, you know, whatever. But I would never tell somebody, because truly, if we accept Bitcoin as a store of value in definition, we're telling people that it's okay to put all your money into Bitcoin. I would never tell somebody to put all your money into Bitcoin. Even El Salvador didn't put all their money into Bitcoin. They put only what they thought made sense, and they certainly made money off of it, and then they accepted it as a form of currency because they want more of it. So it made sense, but they didn't YOLO into it. I would never tell somebody to do that. If somebody else feels differently, by all means. I'm saying I wouldn't do it, personal opinion. I also need to think about in store value. When I say I'm talking about anybody who's doing an investment. I need to be thinking about what is value. Truly, what is value? We need to define it better. We need to understand it. And if we accept one thing, we should accept the definition that value is not under somebody else's control. It's under your control for your own purposes. As in, your value is based on what you control, not based on what somebody else controls. If you accept that definition, then it may help you jump for joy when you hear that the Fed rejected CBDCs. So this is now the Fed openly rejecting CBDCs after Trump flat out banned it. So Trump said, we're banning that. We're not going to do this. Jerome Powell came out and said, we'll never adopt that as long as I'm here. So he's not saying it never will happen. He's saying, as long as I'm here, it will not happen. He was challenged. He openly was asked the question. See, this is the difference between Jerome Powell and Anthony Fauci. Jerome Powell was directly asked the question, quote, can I have your commitment so long as you're the chairman of the Federal Reserve System that we will never have a central bank digital currency? And then Jerome Powell said, yes. That's simple. It's not like Fauci. Multiple studies have shown the where he's ducking and hiding smoke. Jerome Powell's not hiding. He's not hiding anything. He's saying this is what it is. This is what we're not doing. We're not doing this, and we refuse to do that. Now he's doing it with executive order, and the executive order is basically saying you're not going to develop one, you're not going to issue one, and you're not going to promote one. Regardless, the Federal Reserve stands separate from the White House, so it's not subject to the control of the White House, and thus is not subject to the control of Donald Trump's order. So Jerome Powell saying what he said should cause a positive, because we now have assurances, firm assurances. And this goes back. He's repeatedly said, I don't think it's a problem. I don't think it's a need. And it's not something that we're looking at, but he's never been absolutely firm and solid about no. He's never said this won't, as long as I'm here, it will not happen. Should be positive. Unfortunately, it cannot be positive in the short term because the trade war is causing major price volatility with Bitcoin and gold alike. Bitcoin dropped below $93,000 at a point. Significant fluctuations. Gold dropped. Significant fluctuations. Ethereum, I mean, geez, you know, you. So the point is that we should be getting positive sentiment because of what Jerome Powell said and because of all the positive momentum of Donald Trump and all the executive actions. The executive actions that triggered the tariff wars, though, caused negative sentiment that counteracted the positive we were supposed to have. So now we're in this tug-of-war situation where there's goods and bads. I said on Casual that tariffs can be a long-term good thing, but it assumes that they're implemented correctly, and it assumes that we are understanding and we communicate to people. Some of these prices are going to go up, but that's designed to entice those businesses to bring their stuff back to the United States instead of outsourcing and offshoring it. If you bring it back here, you don't have to pay those tariffs. They don't want to do that because it's going to require they pay higher salaries. They don't want to pay higher salaries, and of course that affects you, because if you can't make more money, you can't buy more crypto, and if you can't buy more crypto, it means it can't go on the run that we think it should because you don't have disposable income. See, it all connects together. I understand that. The industry doesn't get it, but that's really what it is. We think, we meaning the country, we think that it's as simple as just sending somebody a bill for sending these products to the United States. There's more to it, because the United States companies, they've gotten so used to outsourcing and offshoring, they've never been punished to the degree that we're seeing here. So for them, it's a culture shock and they don't know how to deal with it. So they're just doing whatever they do and then complaining because they're getting a bill for doing all that, instead of saying, okay, we need to build American products and services. They don't want to do that because they think that it's going to cost too much to pay those salaries. And if it costs too much to pay those salaries, yeah, it probably will. But understand what the positive of that decision is. The positive of that decision is, first of all, quality. Because as people know, all the different products and things that come from China are usually garbage. And then we fill up our landfills with a bunch of crap, TVs right now and everything else that get discarded as people upgrade. Everybody getting the new iPhone every single time. Everything got worse. You know, once we started relying more on the international and outsourcing, everything got worse. He's trying to fix this. Nobody knows exactly what it's going to take to get back some core sanity with this business, but this is where we're at. I said at the jump of the show, I was going to tell you a story, and it connects to what I just said. When I was much younger, I had some sayings, multiple sayings, but I had one specific saying that stood out that I'll never forget that I said it. And I don't know why I said it, but in retrospect, I was pretty smart for saying it. I said that you can do all you can do for other people. I'm paraphrasing my own self because I don't want to share the direct quote because I don't want somebody to steal it. But you can do all you can do for other people. But what good does it do if you drain yourself, if you bleed yourself dry, if you do all that for everybody else to where you put yourself out? We don't understand that what we think of as gratitude is not real. It doesn't exist. So I'm not suggesting that you should not be generous. I'm not suggesting that you should not be helpful. I'm not suggesting that you should not do for people that you care about. I knew a girl, used to work with her. This is 2009, 2010. I think it was 2010, I believe. It was 9 or 10. And gorgeous girl, just an absolute freaking gorgeous girl. She came from the East Coast. She moved out to, at the time, California. And just a beautiful young lady, beautiful young lady. I don't even know how we connected because I don't recall making a pass at her or any of that stuff. It seemed like there was something where she needed my help with something and she approached me and then all of a sudden she's giving me her phone number. That's all I remember. It's vague. It's vague. All I remember is how gorgeous she was. Frankly, I'm honest. Now I knew the girl had a boyfriend and I met the guy. There was some, you know, event or something I was helping her out with. And he stopped by. I don't remember the guy's name. I don't remember what he looked like. I just remember some other people that saw her, you know, approach me with and give her the number and all this. And somebody had the opinion that she had a thing for me. Okay, well, cool. At that time, I wasn't about making moves. See, I don't want to say a reputation, but I had a pattern. That's a better way to say this. I had a pattern. When I would work at certain companies, it was three specific ones. For whatever reason, there was just an attraction where some of the hot girls would just attract to me. And I couldn't explain what it was because I'm just doing my thing. You know, I'm on the J-O-B. I'm not out there hitting on girls at all. I actually had one of them who was a friend at a time. And I said something to her of the effect of, you know, we went out to lunch and it was my birthday. And I said, you know, this is a great birthday present, getting a chance to go to lunch with you. And somehow she turned that into me hitting on her. And I'm like, no, it's my birthday. It's a good birthday present. We're here. It's cool. And then there was another one. And I'm not going to say the name of the person she looked like that she strongly resembled, as in picture perfect, perfect resemblance. But this girl, she was a singer. And she would give me copies of her CDs to hear her sing. And she was a decently good singer. Bore a very striking resemblance to a very well-known adult film star of the 90s. That's, I'm going to leave it right there. So that, you know, but I wasn't hitting on her. She came after, you know. So fast forward, this other girl I'm telling. And we just connected. There was nothing to it. I didn't think there was anything to it. Others were trying to get us together because they saw there's something there, and somehow somebody figured out, and I don't know if they were telling the truth, but they figured out that she didn't really like the dude she was with, which is weird to me. That, you know, why are girls staying with dudes you don't? But anyhow, somebody figured this out. They tell me, hey, you should do this, 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 so you can be with her at this event, help her out, and you're kind of, you know, they're trying to push me to make a move and I'm not trying to make a move. I don't mind helping, but I don't want to make a move and make her uncomfortable. Well, I go to this event and it's cool. She's smiling. She's laughing. It's all cool. Dude stops by. I shake his hand. It's no problem. But others are telling me, no, the dude's a prick. He's a jerk. He's a whatever. Trust me, it'll all come 360 in a second. But I'm one ear and out the other. I'm not thinking about it. I'm not trying to hook. I'm not trying to hit on her. I'm not trying to hook up with her. I'm attracted, but I'm not going, right? Okay. Now, fast forward the tape. Just the other day, something clicked in my mind, and I don't know what it was or why. I did a search. The girl has a criminal case. It's a duplicate, but it's a criminal case against her. And then she has a summary judgment against her for over $100,000. Now, I know that from what I can recall, I sensed or smelled no such criminal anything from this girl. I did some digging. The judgment, from what I can tell, is a car accident, some sort of car accident. And the car accident, the guy, and I'm pretty sure it's the same guy, although I don't remember his name, but I'm pretty sure it's the same guy. He's the one that this person went after for this $100,000, but she's named, which seems to imply that either both their names on the vehicle, possibly, or that she was in the car, but I'm pretty sure it had to be that they're both registered on the vehicle. Had to be, because again, they're a couple. I'm thinking, why the hell would she do that? Why would she list this guy? Because they weren't married. So I'm like, why would you list that guy? And why would he list you on a car that's not, like, just anyway. I looked up the person that went after them, got the judgment. Very well known, and she's like a massage therapist, and she's well known is the point. She's got a whole different program and all this stuff. And it surprised me. I'm like, what's going on here? I looked at the criminal case stuff. I can't get details about it. Ultimately, from what I can tell, and she was declared not guilty, but from what I can tell, there was some sort of theory or allegation or belief that it was like a criminally negligent something, right? It's something where somebody may have died in whatever this accident was. And I'm just, my head is spinning. The moral of the story and the reason I told it, and it connects back to what I said, I keep thinking, and I have to fight thinking it because it's not fair to me, but I keep thinking, if I had tried, you know, if I had pushed, if I had fought, if I had worked to try to make a move, if he was really a prick, like maybe if I was doing more, I could have avoided that. I could have prevented that, change history, you know, stop that from happening. The reason I have to fight that feeling, and I've held it before with different girls that I've been friends with, where it's like, I can't think that. It's not fair. It's not right. It's not accurate. The reason I have to fight that is because when you do that, when you put yourself out that way and you say, I'm just going to do this because I think X, Y, that's a form of narcissism. That's okay. You're trying to be helpful. You're trying to be whatever. But if you put yourself out to do that, if you put yourself, because I know I would not have been anywhere near as financially well off as I would become if I had stayed with her. That's not saying she's a gold digger. It's just that I knew what I was thinking at the time. I was not anywhere near as cautious with money back then as I became. I was not as smart about finding opportunities than I became. I was nowhere near as eloquent as a speaker as I was, you know, back then versus now. It wasn't in the same class. If I had done what I was beating myself up for not doing, everything would have possibly crashed and burned, no pun intended, for me as well. Then the 360 of this was when I now have this situation where I'm not as worried about money compared to the way I was before, you know, during the pandemic when I was truly, again, near homeless. I truly was near homeless. And now I'm not really worried about money. It's not that I have infinite flowing, but I'm certainly not worried about it. It doesn't mean that I'm not helping other people. It doesn't mean that I'm not trying to be gracious when it makes sense. It means that I have to be thoughtful about it. It means that I have to put myself first. It means that I have to be in a comfortable position to where if and when I do help people, I don't even blink. It's not about how I feel about doing it. It's I don't even blink doing it because I know it does not hurt myself. It does not hurt my immediate family. It doesn't hurt my situation. It doesn't put me out so that I can continue to helping people. This then ties to the thought around diversification and commodities because these are other ways that you can help people. See how I did this? You can invest in a lot of these things now that are on dips to set other people up. You can invest in things that are going to position others without directly giving them money as a one-off spot benefit, whether that's your kids, whether that's friends, whether that's family, whatever it is, take some of the money that you do have and invest in some of these other things that you know are going to go back up. And that's low-hanging fruit. But it also pays it forward, certainly more so than these banks offering you 0.5% interest. Something to think about as you go through and identify things to invest in, you now have an opportunity to use that to pay it forward and help other people in a very indirect way, but an easy way and something that will continue to grow. If you invest now in something that's $2,000 that we expect is going to go to 10, geez, that's low-hanging fruit. It's straight up low-hanging fruit. If you had $2,000 that you could toss at something that's going to 5X, that could be life-changing for somebody. That could be the nest egg that helps through these tumultuous times. Now, you got to be careful to educate those people not to just spend it. Because if you do it and they're not trained about what it's really for, which is emergencies, what good does it do you? But if you can train them to leave it alone, you have an opportunity now, and I stress now, because now is the time. Because in a couple of months, you're not going to have these kind of prices. You have the opportunity to invest in things all across the board that are going to add strong benefit to other people. And that, to me, is priceless. It's priceless beyond somebody asking for your help. It's priceless beyond waiting until there's a crisis. It's a different thought. It's a different thought than just tossing money to a savings account that doesn't give you anything. I'm not suggesting that you don't do savings accounts. I'm suggesting that you have multiple ways to put money away now that are guaranteed to go up in a strong way and benefit people in a much better way than banks ever could or would or should. If you decide, I'm just going to, you know, I know people who said, I'm going to buy a bunch of Bitcoin for my kids because we know someday it's going to make them a lot of money. That's a great way to do it. As long as they're not allowed to touch it until they're 18 or something, you know, that's a great way to think about it. And there's all these, you know, people that have families, extended families where you want to leave them something, right? When you're gone, if you're older and you're gone and you could build up something that you can leave them. Now we're dealing with something that has persistent value for the future. It doesn't have it in the short, but it will have it in the long. The precious metals will always have value, but there will come a time when it'll be harder to trade it. So does it have the same value as something like blockchain technologies? Maybe, maybe not. It's food for thought only. As you plan and you hopefully take advantage of what I believe are very rare price drops designed to make you a lot if you get in at the right time and you wait long enough for it to jump and you train yourself not to sell. I'm not suggesting what to do specifically. I'm saying that if you do what I just said, you have the opportunity to help a lot of people that are important to you. You have the opportunity to set them up for success and create things that help, you know, weather the storm the next time we have some sort of a pandemic, which, by the way, Bill Gates is out there shilling his artificial vaccines to do for.